Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this beautiful day, and thank you for being here to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A few announcements, so you can look in your bulletin. If you did not get the email, Verna Milbert's daughter, Patty, passed away July the 8th. She lives in Florida, and Verna's here with us today, and her son Jimmy, so we welcome them, and sorry for your loss. Annual Lemonade Fellowship will be held today. If it's not raining, it'll be out in front of church. If it starts raining, it's being here. VBS helpers, I think all the VBS helpers are accounted for. We have everyone for that, and that starts Monday at 6:30. Church Sanctuary Workday, we've not had one of these in a good while. The garden is flower garden around the church has kind of gotten out of control. So we're going to come down about 10 o'clock Saturday morning and work in the garden. So you can bring your gloves and your tools and all that. It would be greatly appreciated. If it happens to be raining, we will come inside and clean the sanctuary. So you can bring your buckets and gloves and all those things too. That would be a great help. So we look forward to getting one, at least one of these things done. You can read about donating to the food bank, and scripture readers, you can sign up at the back of the church. We like to have one for each Sunday. The deacons are now providing cough drops, Starlight Mints, Kleenex, hand sanitizer, and bottled water for those who may need them, and they're on the table in the back. The Valley Garden, that was started a couple of years ago, it's been a very rainy season, but they've been able to donate lettuce and spinach and radishes and all kind of things, so we thank them for that. And also three pair of gardening gloves and a collapsible rake were donated for those who may wish to do the weeding around the church. So we thank everyone for that and hope you can come out this Saturday and beautify this beautiful church. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our first hymn is an old standard hymn this morning, To God Be the Glory, on page 66 in your red hymnals.
Thank you.
Amen. Beautiful. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We are grateful for the sacrifice Jesus made on our behalf. Forgive us for not telling others about Jesus. Forgive us for not living our lives as true disciples. Remind us that you chose us to be your sons and daughters. Help us to believe that we have redemption and forgiveness according to your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
As we get ready to recite our Apostles' Creed, I want to remind you of something. We talked about this in our session meeting the other night. Some of the words are kind of archaic in this one, like we might say in today, Holy Spirit, where this says Holy Ghost. But it was written a long time ago. Where it says Catholic, that does not mean Roman Catholic Church. It means the Church Universal, all churches coming together. So, let us join in a sense of unity and recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you don't know someone's name, be sure to ask. responsive reading in the back of your red hymnals, Psalm 19, 693. The heavens declare the glory of God, and skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out to all the earth, their words to the end of the world.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever.
The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward.
Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me.
Let's read together. May the words of my heart and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. At this time, I ask the elder on the door to come forth with a prayer and praise request.
Our first prayer request is for Gloria Myers and sister. This is from Mabe. Both are very ill visitors. The next one is for Suzanne Connor from Andy. Her parents, illness unchanged, looking for assisted living in Pittsburgh. The next is for Megan Nelson. Prayers for positive thoughts with personal issues and health issues. For Michael Feth. From Megan, this is her friend's husband. I request a prayer for healing for knee surgery he had. He is my friend Nancy Feth's husband. And this is for Megan. This is my prayer request, and I am asking that I find a new job with more hours, the ability to use my skills, abilities, experience, education that will enable me to help others. I'd like to have prayers for Paul Ruby for his healing and prayers of thanksgiving for Chuck that he's back in church and doing well.
I just want to add my father who's been in a hospital and temporary nursing home, and for Robin going through a lot of health and other issues. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, then I'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. And through this day, help us to make good choices, things that would help our lives, make us better Christians, men and women, husbands and wives, fathers, mothers, children. Lead us and guide us in all that we do. Remind us that we do have a responsibility after the salvation that we have been given. So we lift all these prayer requests up to you, believing that you hear them. But not just that you hear them, that you answer them according to your will, your understanding of our lives. We thank you for that. We lift all the persons mentioned, all those in the Valley newsletter, all those that are in the bulletin this morning, this entire congregation, all the needs that they may have in their lives. And I know the people often don't speak their prayer requests, but they need prayer and need your help. And as you touch their lives, let us also reach out and touch people and help them get through the difficult moments and periods in their lives. And also celebrate the wonderful things that are happening. Help us to be appreciative of the abundant, spirit-filled life. Lord, we thank you for this prayer that you gave to your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn, our hymn of preparation, a screen song, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. So we give of ourselves, our time, our energy, our monies, all that we do. Lord, let us do it for not for our glory, but for your glory. Lord, as Pastor Glenshaw Valley, I thank you for every person that gives, many times out of their need. We pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Amen.
While Lynn's coming, get ready to read the scriptures. I realize it's not in the bulletin anymore, but remind you to have a crying room right through here, two restrooms, water fountain. So if you start coughing or crying or you need to talk during the service, there should be a speaker. If it's not on, you just plug it in. It'll come on, but you can probably hear even without it. So we appreciate your cooperation.
The reading today is Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. For he has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to the counsel of his will, we who first hoped in Christ have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. In him, you also who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory.
Thank you, Lynn. There's been a piece of humor, there's a lot of humor on the internet, for some time about a young polar bear cub. He approached his mother one day and asked, "Mom, am I a polar bear?" "Of course you are, son," she replied with a smile. "Okay," said the young cub and padded off. Later he found his dad out on an iceberg. He said, "Dad, am I a polar bear?" He said, "Sure you are, son," and wondering why his son would ask such a silly question. The next day the cub asked the question again and again. "Are you and Mom polar bears?" "You are?" "Well then, does that make me a polar bear, 100% pure polar bear?" Finally, his parents couldn't stand it any longer and said, "Son, you're driving us crazy with this question. You are a polar bear. Why do you keep asking if you're a polar bear?" And he just looked up at them and confessed, "Mom and Dad, I'm freezing." Yes, even polar bears can get cold sometimes. A writer named Paul Lee tells that story, and then he adds these important words. "Sometimes I go to my Heavenly Father, and I say, 'Father, am I really your child? Am I really a Christian? Are you really my Father?' Because sometimes I doubt it, sometimes I don't feel like it, and very often I do not act like it. And I'm not sure I'm the kind of person you would want to call your child. And sometimes things don't go well for me, and I have pain, and I have anger and disappointments. Is that okay for one of your children? And though I can't see it, I can feel it. The warm hug, the reassuring smile, the affirmation of sonship. I don't have to be perfect. I'm not expected to never feel pain, never to worry at all, or never to care about things. But I am expected to know whose I am and that I belong to the Heavenly Father. And that for whatever extravagant, outrageous reason, I have been loved. I have been adopted into the family of God. I have been called into a relationship with you, my Heavenly Father. Our lesson from Ephesians begins like this. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in the sight. In love," this is a different version, "he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will." One says determined, one says predestined. Friends, let me put your minds at rest. You are a genuine son or daughter of God if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God has adopted you into His heavenly family, and you and I are children of God. I know we don't always feel like it, and sometimes we wonder, but we are. Our lesson says we were chosen before the creation of the world. That's a powerful statement to me. What an awe-inspiring thought. We were chosen before the creation of the world to be God's children. A piece of humor, children's humor, talks about how we got our belly buttons. It says, as we were coming down the conveyor belt in heaven, God used His index finger and He said, I'll take that one and that one and that one. So I just want to tell you this morning, if you have a belly button, you are a child of God. I'm going to check as soon as I get home just to make sure. But I know we might protest and say, well, Pastor, everybody has belly buttons. Does that mean that everybody in the world is chosen? Be honest, I don't know, but maybe we just have the good fortune of knowing that we are chosen. You protest again, but don't some Christians believe in predestination? And we're Presbyterians, that's part of our theology. The idea that some people are chosen while others are not. But I'm not going to get drawn into that discussion this morning. However, I will tell one of my favorite stories on the theme. I think I shared this many years ago. Years ago, two ministers agreed to swap the pulpit one Sunday morning as a sign of ecumenical goodwill. Each preacher would preach in the other one's pulpit. And I've done this myself. I preached at Bethlehem Lutheran one Sunday, and that pastor came over here, and we used to do that. Not doing it right now, but... Now, the date was 1850, and the place, Boston, Massachusetts. One of the great preachers of the day, Lyman Beecher, the best known of Boston's great preachers during this period. The other was a neighboring Presbyterian minister who believed strongly in predestination, an idea which Beecher could not accept. That Sunday morning, each man set out for the other's church a block or two away to keep their appointment to preach in this pulpit exchange. They met on the sidewalk and halfway between the churches and stopped to exchange, pleasant greetings. The Presbyterian minister said, Dr. Beecher, I just want to call your attention to the fact that before God created the world, before He set the stars in motion, He arranged that you and I would exchange pulpits. I would preach in your pulpit, and you would preach in my pulpit. Lyman Beecher said, is that so? Glaring at his Presbyterian Calvinist friend. Then I won't do it. And with that, he turned and walked away and went back to his church and preached in his pulpit that morning. Of course, maybe that's what God had planned all along. Who knows? We'll leave that question of whether everyone is chosen by God to another time. The most important thing I want you to know this morning is that you have been chosen. You are a child of God, not because you are better than anyone else, because we're not. None of us act like God's children all the time, not a single one of us, and that's the meaning of grace. But somehow in the providence of God, before the creation of the world, we were chosen. But what were we chosen for? Why did He choose us to be His children? Paul tells us we were chosen before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in God's sight. You kind of got to say, oops here. I knew there would be some kind of a catch. Always a catch. Chosen before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. Last thing I want to do today is make you feel guilty to talk too much about being holy and blameless, because when we have a tendency to do that sometimes, it makes us feel guilty and it actually beats us down instead of raising us up. But think through this for a minute. Why do you think God created, not the world's, but why did God create you you, a specific you. From the teaching of Jesus, I believe God created us to be happy. He created us to be healthy, to be whole human beings, and to show others what it is like to be a Christian and have a sense of joy and know that you are redeemed. God created us for healthy relationships with other people and for a relationship with Him. The God of the universe wants to be in relationship with you. God created us to be happy and healthy and to be all that we can be, to be the best that we can be. And isn't that what you would hope for you, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your relatives, for your friends, for your neighbors? And I ask you this morning, are you happy and healthy, and are you all that you can be? Maybe from time to time you come up a little short. I know I do. And that's all right. Even polar bears get cold. But that's what God wants us to do, to be happy and healthy and spiritual. A man named Ken Lender wrote a book titled Crunch Time. In it, he tells about his father, a man who had an enormous influence on him and how he lived his life. He said ever since he can remember, his dad cherished his physical health. Without reason, with great discipline, the father exercised regularly. Whether it was walking an hour each day or going swimming or ice skating, doing something to keep moving. And through the years, Ken watched his dad walk in the rain and the snow just to keep himself fit. By valuing his health, his dad, at the age of 97, was able to continue working 3 days a week. He continued to be sharp and fit and had a great zest for life and derived the most out of his life, trying to live that abundant life. His dad missed only 3 or 4 days of work over that last 27 years of working. And while genetics no doubt played a significant role in his good health and his longevity, his high value and regard for physical well-being through the years were also major factors in his celebration of healthy and vital living. God wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be happy. Ultimately, the road to happiness is paved with good habits. Life is a matter of making good choices. We say it to our children, make a good choice. And we all know that's true. Now contrast Ken's dad's life with the life of a man who's a legend in country music, George Jones. Jones was a country music icon from the old school. Now we could, you know, have new country and old country. A lot of songs were stereotypical of cheating and of drinking. And the fact that George Jones had a drinking problem was no secret to anyone. But on March 6, 1999, country music fans were horrified to hear that George Jones ran his Lexus and was critically injured when he crashed into a bridge in Nashville, Tennessee. The investigation showed that George had been drunk at the wheel. Thankfully, he recovered and he kept performing until his death just a few years ago. But 2 months after his accident, he wrote and released a new album entitled Cold Hard Truth. Came out on the hit song that was on it, was titled Choices. Ironically, the hook line of the song went like this: I'm living and dying with the choices I made. And we all do, don't we? Life is a matter every day of making choices. What are you going to do today? And that's true of all of life. The power to choose is one of the most precious gifts that God has given to us. Arthur Michael Halen tells about an elderly woman who calls Miss S. He says that Miss S had lived alone for many years and had gotten out only with the help of a wheelchair. Every Sunday, she wheeled herself into the side of the sanctuary of the church, which didn't have any handicap access, and she worshiped there very enthusiastically every week. She always seemed to be up, and people smiled when they were around her. One evening, Miss S. spoke to the youth of the church and was asked how she could always be so alive, so full of joy and hope, and she responded simply, "I choose to be this way. I choose it." She says, "I had no choice about living the last half of my life as a widow, I have no choice that my son was killed in the Korean War, and I certainly did not choose to have to ride around in this wheelchair for the past 10 years. But one thing I did choose was to be happy. I decided to make the best of every day and to see the best in every person. Isn't that how God means for us to live our lives? Now, I realize that not all of us can be as disciplined as Ken, or have those genetics, or as determined as Mrs. S to have a positive attitude. But that is what grace is all about. When Paul writes that God has chosen us in Him before the creation of the world to be His children, holy and blameless in His sight, God knew that we would never be holy enough and we would never be blameless enough. We just can't do it. But through His love, that is how God sees us, saved by Jesus, perfect in His eyes. That is how God hopes we will be. God only wants the very best for each and every one of us. A life of health and wholeness, physical, emotional, relational, spiritual. That is the path that leads to the very best life possible. We might call it abundant life. And what we need most to see is that there is one choice that we need to make that makes all the other choices easier to make. And that is to choose Christ. To choose Jesus to come into your life and begin to work on you and help you change and have that abundant life. So we begin this morning by asking if you're a polar bear. And of course, you're all polar bears here this morning. You've been chosen before creation to be God's child, part of God's own family. Psychologists John Grinder and Richard Bandler tell an interesting story about a polar bear. It seems that years ago, the Denver Zoo acquired a polar bear. And they were going through a major renovation. They were going to build this nice naturalistic setting, as zoos are learning to do now, instead of putting in little small cages. The bear could be able to swim and go in and out and be cool. Unfortunately, the polar bear arrived at the zoo before this naturalistic enclosure was able to be built. They meant that they had to put it in a cage until the new grand environment was ready, a small cage. The cage he was put in temporarily was just big enough for the polar bear to take three steps one way, stand up, turn around, and take three steps back the other way. And he just did this all day long. Three steps this way, three steps the other way. The polar bear spent many, many months in that cage with those bars that restricted his behavior, his walking, his freedom. Eventually, the large naturalistic environment into which they could release the polar bear was built. So they sedated him, took the cage off, and then when he woke up, can you guess what he did? The polar bear walked three steps, stood up, turned around, and walked three steps back, even though he's got this beautiful, nice, big environment built just for him. The polar bear was no longer caged, but the polar bear was not yet free. There's a difference. Could it be that this describes your life in any way? You may no longer be caged, but you still don't feel free. It doesn't have to be that way. You were chosen to be a child of the Almighty God. God has provided an open door by which you can escape the cage of hopelessness, despair, worry, dread. And that door is simply a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've not done so yet, accept Him. Let Him set you free. May God bless you. Amen. And before I forget, as we go to our last hymn, 608, May the Grace of Christ, our Savior, I hope that you can stay for the lemonade the deacons are providing and the cookies. It's a nice time of fellowship.
thank all the teachers and helpers that will be coming out and everyone that will be trying to get children to come out for it. And remind you, please be in prayer during the week for the VBS, all the teachers, helpers, and children. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, I hope that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a child of God, chosen by Him, in love. Let us go out into the world and be the best representatives of the Church of Christ that we can be. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.